Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way." Steps of a man, a good man, are ordered, structured, ordained by the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we live in a time when people are drifting more and more and more away from your order, your structure, your ways, your word. And I ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, because, God, we want to see healing, and we want to see miracles, and we want to see the manifestation of God. But we cannot expect those things and not walk in harmony with you. Lord, this is a day for us lining up our hearts with the things of God and the purposes of God. So speak to us, Lord. Instruct us in the ways of the Lord. And challenge us, Lord, to be obedient to those things. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. The Lord is good, right? I don't have this in my hand to hit anybody with. But how many of you have ever known people who just would not receive instruction? You couldn't tell them anything. They know everything. And they don't know it, but they act like they do. But they won't receive instruction. You can't teach them. The world is becoming increasingly like this in matters of faith and spiritual things and with God. Now, I used to play a little golf. I don't play much anymore. But if I'm at a driving range and I'm lining up my golf shot, you know, and I got to get my grip just right and I get my stance just right, my posture, and I'm practicing my golf swing, and Jack Nicklaus walks up to me, or Tiger Woods walks up to me and says, "Hey, I was over there watching you a little bit with your golf swing, and your grip's not just right." Jack Nicklaus says, or Tiger Woods says, "You need to fix your grip. Your grip's too tight. You need to loosen it up. You need to broaden your stance. Move the ball back a little bit in your stance. Loosen up your shoulders. Bend your knees a little bit. Get a little better posture." This is Jack Nicklaus. This is Tiger Woods. And I look at him and say, "No, that's okay. I got it." That's stupid. Right? If you're in a gym at the free throw line shooting basketballs and Michael Jordan comes up to you and says, "I can show you how to be better," and you say, "No, it's okay, I got it," that's pretty stupid. If you're throwing a football field out on the football field, Peyton Manning walks up to you and says, "Hey, I can show you how to set your feet and how to get your arm just right, I can show you how to be a better passer of the football," and you say, "Nah, it's okay, I got it." Folks, this is what we're doing with God. God is trying to tell the world a better way. But you know what we're saying? "Nah, that's okay, I got it." I want you to think about this mentality that says, "I'm not going to take instruction from God." If you think it's silly not to take instruction from Tiger Woods about golf, or Jack Nicklaus, Peyton Manning, or LeBron, or whoever, Michael Jordan, any of those things with the professions, those guys are good at what they do. And you'd be silly not to take instructions from them. Well, think how silly it is for us not to take instructions from God. For us to say to God, "It's all right, I got it figured out." Because that's what we're doing. We're talking to the creator of the universe and telling him we basically know more than he does. The Word of God says that He orders our steps. He designs a structure for our lives. He sets a pattern after which He designed man to walk. He designed a harmony for creation. God designed a perfect creation with perfect harmony, men walking in harmony with one another. And in harmony with their God, and in harmony with themselves, in harmony with their spiritual life and their mental life. God created a structure of order for creation and humanity. He ordered our steps. He structured them. He ordained them. He laid them out. It's sort of like the train that's running on the railroad tracks. Railroad tracks were made for trains. Trains have wheels that are designed to run on the track. They go together. There's a harmony there. There's a laid out structure. So every day the train goes on this track, and he just goes on this track. But one day the train is looking off to his right, and he sees this beautiful prairie and hills, and he decides he wants to go that way. He wasn't made to go that way. Are you hearing me? I don't care how it looks. Church, y'all need to see this. I don't care how right it feels. I don't care how logical it seems. I don't care how attractive it is to the eye. The train was not made to run off the track. And the minute he does, he gets in trouble and derails, crashes. This is what humanity has done. We're running on the tracks that God laid for it. God made us to run on these tracks. God made us to run on these tracks because he knows more than you do. How many of you would agree God knows more than you do? God knows what's best for you, and God knows the track that he laid out for humanity is what's best. But we got to looking at other things, and we decided that was better. We decided we'd rather go in that direction or this direction. And now the world has derailed and people are crashing, their lives are crashing because they knew better than God. And because they know more than God and they've gotten off the track. It's not because God is mean. Y'all need to understand this. God had an original intent in creation. The Bible says that he looked at everything he created and saw that it was what? Good. It didn't need improving. It doesn't need changing. It doesn't need me trying to make it better. God saw what he made was good. So it's imperative that I learn to walk in harmony with what God has created and what God's intent was about what creation and God has made. God created it this way, not to deprive us of anything, but to bless us. Because God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows what you need more than you know. The things that are so harmful to us, you know, when a child is 2 years old and he wants a big piece of cake for breakfast.
Cake, I want the cake. Okay.
No, we're having eggs and bacon, and I don't know if eggs and bacon's that much better for you. Eggs are good. No, we're not having cake. We're having pancakes smothered in butter with lots of syrup, eggs, a pound of bacon. We're eating healthy, kid. Cinnamon rolls. No, we're not having cake. But the reason we try... And I use the word try loosely. The reason we try to give our children healthy things is because we know the cake's not good for them. But to that two-year-old, they can't see that. And you say, no, you can't have the cake. And they're looking at you thinking, you're mean. You're just mean. And that's how we do God. Because God won't give us the cake. But God won't give us what we want. He's just mean. He's just cruel. He won't just, you know, and who wants to serve a God like that? Who wants to walk with a God like that? You know, and we don't. But see, God knows what's best for your body, your soul, and your spirit. You are a triune being. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. You're a very complex being. And this amazing creator that created you knows the complexities of who you are and what you are and what your needs are. And so he created an order for that. And when we get out of that, we start messing everything up. And that's when our emotions get wrong, our emotions get askew, because we're out of harmony with what God intended. And we don't understand. We blame all our feelings and we blame it all on everything else. And the blame lies when we're not walking in obedience with the harmony of God's purpose. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, what did Lucifer tell them? He told them that if you eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, you will have knowledge like God. He appealed to them with this thing of knowledge. You want to know more, you want to have this kind of knowledge, then you need to step out of the plan of God. I know God told you not to eat of the tree, but I'm telling you, if you do eat of the tree, you can walk in this new knowledge. So you're going to have to step out of the plan of God and acquire this kind of knowledge. And that's exactly what we're doing in the world today. We are saying, we know more than God. We know more than the Word of God. Or the Word of God is outdated. The Word of God doesn't fit our culture. The Word of God is no longer culturally relevant. Churches are no longer culturally relevant. We have surpassed all of that. Well, have we? Because what you're doing is you're saying you're stepping out of the plan of God to acquire another knowledge. You're stepping out of what God has said is all knowledge and all knowing and understanding and right to say that this other thing is right. And that's not what God said. So that's where we're putting ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, "For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire," according to their own desire and what they want, "because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will rather turn to fables." Wow. The Amplified says it this way, "For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with the truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions." And that's exactly what the world is doing. That's exactly what people are doing. It's what a lot of God's people are doing. We're taking the Word of God and we're saying, well, this don't mean that. This doesn't, you know, mean that. We're changing, we're taking this out, it's not relevant, and we're changing belief systems that have stood for thousands of years because it doesn't match the culture, it's not pleasing to people, it turns people off or whatever. And I have a heart for people. I love people. I care about people. I care about where they walk and what's going on in their life, but I care enough to tell you the truth. Because the Word of God says truth is what sets people free. I don't help you when I pat you on the back and agree with your sin. I'm not helping you. Well, don't you love me? Yes, I love you. And true love tells the truth. It just does. So it's important that we bring the application of truth to the situation. Because the Word of God says in the last days, we're all going to be in a place where we want teachers who tell us what? What we want to hear. We don't want to hear the truth anymore. Tell me what I want to hear, because it goes against everything that I feel. So we think we know more than God about marriage. We think we know more than God about gender identity. We think we know more than God about sexual boundaries. We think we know more than God about relationships. We think we know more than God about family, what families are, what the definition of a family is. We think we know more than God about parenting. We think we know more than God about masculinity. We think we know more than God about being feminine. We think we know more than God about morality. And so we're starting to tell God about these things. That it ought to be this way and it ought to be that way when God said something else. Just because we don't like what God said. But that's a problem. Because He's God and you're not. He's God and you're not. And the Word of God teaches us that once we get out of harmony with the purposes of God and the laws of God and the structure that God meant for us to run on, then lots of things start to go askew in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts, because we're not in harmony with God. You see, there's one or two ways God's going to minister to your life. One is through a sovereign, merciful move of God that you have nothing to do with. Because it doesn't have to do with you, it has to do with the purposes of God. Jesus showed up and healed people that didn't show any faith at all. He just showed up and healed them, but he had a purpose. It was a sovereign act of his mercy. And it had nothing to do with how they were praying or what they were doing. Remember the man at the pool? You know, Jesus, he was bitter. You can hear it dripping from his words when he said, "I don't have anybody to help me get in the pool." Because Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" "Well, I don't have anybody, you know, did you want to be healed?" So what happens is, because we're not in harmony with everything God is doing, we get in these places of need. And God can do one of two things. He can sovereignly show up and touch you and heal you, and he may do that. God is a sovereign, awesome God that sometimes works that way. But the other way God moves is when we bring ourselves into obedience and in line and in harmony with his word. I should have got an amen there. See, God's going to move in your life one of two ways. He's just going to show up and boom. Or you're going to line up with him and get in line with his purposes. And more times than not, that's how God does it. And that starts to release the blessings of the Lord in our lives. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way." Well, it's not easy. I mean, that sounds like a good verse and everything, but that's not easy. Let the wicked forsake his way. That means turn away from all the stuff. But it's what's best for you. And he says, "And let the unrighteous man turn away from his thoughts." Let the unrighteous man turn away from his way of thinking. Because folks, here, this is the problem right here. Did you know this is the battleground? This is where the wars fought, right here. Right here. It's where temptation starts. It starts with a thought. You start thinking. And you start dwelling on things. You dwell on the negative. You dwell on defeat. You dwell on despair. And it will start, you know, you dwell on sin. You dwell on things of the flesh. Whatever. You know, and that it all starts with that thought. And then it just grows and it grows and it grows. So let the unrighteous man turn from his way of thinking and let him return to the Lord. Amen. Folks, it's time people return to the Lord. It's time God's people came back to the Lord. It's time God's people came home. To turn from our thinking and return to the Lord. To finally say, "God, I think you know how to do free throws better than me. God, I think you know how to throw a football better than me. I think you know how to hit a golf shot better than me. I think you know life better than I do. Who did I ever think I was? You're a speck. You're dust. Who did you ever think you were to stand up and say no to God? Who in the world do we think we are to start taking scripture and manipulating it and changing it and moving it around and saying it means this or saying, who do you think you are? I mean, we've gotten a little too big for our britches. So he said, return to the Lord and what? He will have mercy. And he will abundantly pardon. Now listen to this, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let me talk about, before I close, and then we're going to pray and minister to people, let me talk about what the problem is, because we have a problem. that we don't want to recognize. Well, why can't it be this way? Why can't there be gay marriage? Why can't there be homosexuality or transgender or gender identity change? Why? What's the big deal about it all? You know, why is everything that's happening all around us with drugs and living a lifestyle and doing anything, why is any of it a problem? Well, you have a core problem that we need to identify and talk about. And you need to see this. It's important. Romans 1 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What He's saying here is, it has been clear since the beginning of time there is a God. Now, if you come to me and say, "Glenn, I don't even believe in God. I don't believe the Bible's the Word of God," then we can't have the conversation we're having right now. I can't have that's another conversation. And I'll have that conversation with you. But that's another conversation. I'm talking about people who want to say, "I believe in God. I believe the Bible's the Bible, but I also believe you can do this." That's who we're having a conversation with. Because if you believe in God and you believe the Bible is God's word, then you need to listen carefully to what God is trying to say to you about order and structure and getting off the track. It is clear to any reasonable thinking person who can look at creation and understand that the visible, that the attributes of God are all around us. He says, because although they knew God, there's a God. He said, although they knew God, he says, they did not glorify Him as God. So there's a God, but I don't bow to Him as God. I don't worship Him as God. I don't adore Him as God. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they have become fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. He's talking about idols. The things that we have made that we worship. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for what? A lie. That's knowledge outside of the knowledge that God gives us. And that is a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and amen. Now, I'm going to share with you, that's this condition of humanity. I'm going to share with you why we're in that state, and then we're going to minister. I had a friend come to me one time, a dear friend, who said, "I've had a major theological breakthrough." Now, those of you that know me know I love the Word of God, and I love talking about the Word of God, and I love discussing the Word of God, and I love digging into it. And those of you who know me well know that I'm pretty open-minded. I read a lot of different ideas and thoughts. I'm not afraid of them. They don't scare me, because I feel pretty solid in what I believe and what I understand, right? But I like to know the whole, I like to look at the whole picture. So this person knows I'm open-minded. So they came to me and said, you should look at this because it's this new thing and it's amazing, it's exciting. And God has shown me a lot of new things. There's a lot of things I believe now I didn't believe 20 years ago. I mean, I've grown and I've moved on and I've changed. Amen? It's beautiful how God grows us. But some things are truth. And it doesn't matter whether they're 100 years old or 500 years old, they're still truth. And you can't move on from truth. Right? There may be truths that you didn't see 50 years ago that you see now, but it was a truth 50 years ago. You're just now seeing it. So you've learned something new. But the truth didn't change. So this person shares with me what they believe, and I looked at it, and I went and got books, and I dug into it, and I gave it a thorough hearing. And I came back to them and said, "You know what? I'm interested in this. I think there might be something here." And I'm really looking into it, and I'm open to the idea. It's just one thing that keeps bothering me, because it seems so logical, but I don't trust my logic. Listen to me, church. I don't trust my logic. I don't trust myself because I'm flawed. You see, the real problem is we are fallen beings. We're fallen. And we don't see always pure truth. And I said, so whatever decision I make ultimately regarding this is going to come down to this. Because I don't trust myself outside of this. Now, here's our problem, and then I'm going to wind this up. Romans 7 says, has then that which is good become death to me? He's talking about the law. He's talking about the rule of God, the law. He said, is that my problem? Is my problem the word of God? Romans chapter 7. Paul says, no. He says, certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So he says, the law, the word, the command wasn't my problem. Sin producing death in me was the problem. He says in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. The law is good, but I'm carnal. Say, I'm carnal. I'm carnal, or I'm of the flesh. I'm sold under sin. Church, God didn't remove your sin nature when you got saved. Y'all, I don't see any halos out there anywhere. I don't see any of you guys glowing and beaming and, right? You still have a sin nature. You still get tempted. You still sin. You're not perfect. I'm carnal, sold under sin. He says, for what I'm doing, I don't even understand. Now listen to what he says. For what I will to do, that is what I want to do, then he says, I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. Now how many of you can identify with that? The things that I really want to do for God, I don't do. And the things that I really don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Somebody say a big amen.
Amen.
We live there, church. This is Paul. A lot of people want to argue that Romans chapter 7 was a pre-salvation experience for Paul. It is not. It is a post-salvation experience. Paul woke up to the truth of sin after he got saved. Before his salvation, Paul said, I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That is, I spoke fluent Hebrew. He spoke fluent Latin. He was highly educated. He said, concerning the law, I was obedient in every point of it. Paul thought he was perfect. Romans chapter 7 is a man who doesn't think he's perfect. Something happened to him. He had an encounter with God that made him realize, I'm nothing. I'm flawed. The things I want to do, I'm not even able to do it. But listen to this. But now it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me nothing good lives. Church, if you'd ever come to this place where you could say, you know what, I don't trust myself. There's something in me that's not good. It's the truth. Now, you're a born-again believer. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. That's your spiritual man, and it's pure and holy and clean and righteous before God. But that old flesh, that old flesh you've got still has problems. And so when somebody comes along and says, yeah, I know what the Bible says about all that, but you know it's really okay. It's all right. We all just love one another. We all just want to get along. We're all worshiping the same God. We're all, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you think, that sounds so good. That sounds so cool. It sounds so easy. It sounds so accepting. It just takes all the pressure off. Yeah, well, there's a problem. There's a real problem. The problem is I am deeply flawed. The problem is my flesh is ruined and I don't trust it for a minute. I don't trust it for a minute. So I have to run somewhere. I got to go. I need something to keep me balanced, to keep me in harmony with God. This is where I See, you can come to me and say, Glenn, I think homosexuality is okay, and I'm going to tell you, let's have a conversation. I'm willing to have that conversation with you. I'm willing to have a loving conversation with you and a compassionate conversation with you about transgender stuff or whatever, what you believe about God, whatever. I can have that conversation. Here's what I ask of you, though. When you share your viewpoints and I share my viewpoints and we've shared it all and we've looked at it from every different possible angle, who is the final arbiter and who is the judge? Where is the impartial voice that's going to speak to you and speak to me the truth? Because I'm flawed and you're flawed and we sometimes don't see things correctly and I have an agenda and you have an agenda. So we need an independent counsel who will speak the truth to us and give us the understanding that we need. And I can tell you this, whatever the subject is, if it's gay marriage, if it's homosexuality, if it's transgenderism, if it's sexual identity, if it's whether there's really a God or whatever it is, I'm going to tell you right now, the final voice for me is going to be the Word of God. And I'm going to say to you lovingly, let's just go see what God has to say about it. And why would you be afraid of that? I'll tell you why you're afraid of it. Because it's knowledge outside of the ordained knowledge and structure of God. And you just flat don't want to hear it. And you're rejecting truth when you do that. And again, if someone says, well, I don't know that I even believe the Bible's the Word of God. I don't know if I believe it. Okay, well, all right. Well, then let's put this conversation away because there's no point in having this conversation. You don't even believe in God, right? So this is a stupid conversation. Let's talk about God. And that's another conversation. But let's don't have this one. But the reason we're having this one is because there's a movement in Christendom today to take the Word of God and make it mean something else. That's why we're having this conversation. Churches all across America are abandoning beliefs that are foundational to the Word of God, to our lives. The Word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And if there are things in my life exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, that's a stronghold, and it needs to come down. Amen. Hallelujah. I realize this morning I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Well, I appreciate that, but I want you to understand your position, and I want you to scripturally understand the foundation. It's important. When people start questioning, and you know, it's important. I'll have a conversation with anybody. I'll sit down with anybody and talk about anything. And I love you. We may end up not agreeing at the end of the day. And I've had those conversations in my office many times. And we didn't always walk out of the office in agreement. But I'll ask you this. What was God's original intent in creation? That is an unarguable point. It really is. Nobody can argue God's intent. But what's happened is this thing is getting so strong now that they're making a concerted effort to come against churches, against conservatives, people who believe like we believe. It's become militant. The very being, just being a Christian, you've got a bullseye on you now. That's okay. Folks, I don't hate the world. If I hated the world, I'd be so against everything that is the heart of God. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save. People are dying. People are lost. People are sick. Families are messed up. Lives are hurting because we've gotten off the track. We've decided, yeah, I got it. I know more than God. We've just made a mess of things. And if your life's going to get, if you're going to get healed up, if your life's going to get, and the blessings are going to flow, you're going to have to get in harmony with the order of God. To finally just bow down. Oh God. When the Welsh revival broke out, and young people got together and started praying in that city, and I forgot the young man's name. But one night in the service, he just started praying out loud. It was full of young people, and they heard him crying out, bend me, God. Bend me. Bend me. God, take this old hard me, bend me, shape me, mold me to what you want me to be. I won't fight you anymore, but I will yield to your purposes in my life. And revival broke out. I mean, it was awesome. Church, I want to see revival. I want to see a move of God, but we're not going to see that until we get in harmony with God. In harmony with the purposes of God. Not fighting, surrendering, bowing. Let's all stand together.